Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken unto the people from far. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. Say with me, he called me from the womb. So there's a calling of God upon your life that comes from the womb, from the matrix of your mother's womb. Are you guys with me? Let's go to verse 2. So the first thing is he called you. Number 2, and then he goes on. It says, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. Say with me, a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand has he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In the shadow of his hands. Say the shadow of his hands. He has hidden me. The shadow of his hand simply means this. Johan, just stand here quickly. The shadow of his hand means this. Let's say the shadow is on you, okay? It means like this. So he says, in the shadow of my hand, you have hidden me. Which means God's hand is upon your life when you are in the shadow of his hand. So where you walk, God's hand goes. Where you do business, God's hand goes. Where you do ministry, God's hand goes. But you need to be hidden under the shadow of his hand. How do I get hidden under the shadow of his hand? So a lot of people try to get into the call of God or try to do what God has called them to do by helping and assisting God. And he killed Uzzah, for doing it. When the ark was about to fall over, the priests that were ordained to carry the ark were carrying the ark, and as the ark was falling over, Uzzah stretched out his hand to touch it, and he was struck dead. Never help God without his permission. So a lot of us try to help God in our callings. Abraham did it and he gave birth to Ishmael. Are you guys with me? He gave birth to Ishmael because what happened? He tried to take the calling and the promise. So the promise came and before time, he wanted to give birth to it. So there is a time to the call of God. There's a process to the call of God. And when I stay in that process, I stay under the shadow of his hands. Are you guys with me? A lot of people want to say, I want to run and do what God has called me to do. Wrong. There's a time. There's a waiting, which I'll get into just now. But let's carry on reading. So the shadow of his hands, he has hidden me and he made me, say made me, a polished shaft. Meaning, it's speaking of an arrow because he's saying the shaft has been polished. And then he goes on, he says, in his quiver has he hidden me. In his quiver has he hidden me. Let's go to Psalm 127 verse 5. Psalm 127 verse 5. La ruska avrekadene miskete. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Say with me, full of them. Full of what? I'll show you now. Full of them. And them that are in his quiver, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Hold on with me. Are you guys with me? Let's go one verse before. Who are they that are in his quiver? As arrows, say with me, as arrows. In the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Meaning those who are in your quiver are sons that you are raising up, whether spiritual sons or natural sons. But say with me, in the hand of a mighty man, be careful who your father is. I'm speaking spiritually. Okay, Centurion, are you still familiar? Okay. So be careful of who your father is in the spirit. The one who sends you can destroy you. Or the one who sends you can do it for their own intention. And when they send you, it is not a proper sending, or they have no gift and they send you, but there's no mantle to be able to be sent. There are televangelists, there are preachers, there are people that are businessmen and not preachers. So they try to send, but they have no gift or grace to send in the first place. And because they have no grace to send, you know, a lot of people come to me for direction, prophetic direction, a lot. A lot of them are Nicodemuses at night. But not many are able to hear what I have to say. So two things happen. I either say it and they ignore it, or I don't say it because I know they're going to disobey it, because they made an idol out of their heart of the decision already before they came to me. So when I would say, no, God is not saying that, they have made an idol out of something and they choose to go their own way, not God's way. A prophet is there for a very specific reason. God has given the grace of a prophet for one of the things is the office for direction. For direction. Do I miss it? Absolutely, I'm a fallible man. But I don't miss it when the spirit of prophecy is on me. I will tell you, do not do this, do that. When it comes to ministries or ministers, I'll say, don't do this, do that. God has not called you to this. God has called you to that. Very few listen. Others wouldn't even listen. That's why God will tell me, you don't even have to prophesy. It'll be like throwing your pearls before the swine. Are you guys with me? It'll be like throwing your pearls before the swine. So I sit with my mouth sealed. And then they think, oh, you know, if this is a prophet, he should be giving me direction. No, even if I do, you are going to be idolizing what you want. Your Ishmael became your God. Many times, many, many, many times. Sometimes it'll take me years to win someone over before I can actually tell them what God is actually saying. I don't like that about the white culture. And we rebuked the leaders on Friday night. Well, not a rebuke, but I was just saying, you know, the white culture, you must pray a prayer and say, Lord, deliver me from my whiteness. Okay? Because you try to first self-preserve. Then there's pride. Then you don't want to lose reputation. And you don't want to honor any man. Now this stuff can go and they're making shows about us that are looking for every clip. That's fine. Let me say this. I have a friend. He has many churches. The one church is white. And he has a car, a small little car. And then he has another church that is black. And he said to me, Leon, you know, I was at my white church, predominantly white. You know when we say white, predominantly white. Okay. And he said, you know, I have this feeling I can't buy a better car. I have to drive this car. I said, that's strange. How many people do you have? So many thousands. I said, oh, a CEO of a company of so many thousands. Anyway, let's leave that one. Okay. So, he said, but then I got to, you know, I'm with my other church that is black and they are offended because I drive this car. So I said to him, it's the curse of white people. They want to keep their pastor poor. That is why they are not blessed. That is why they think, you see, a curse will keep you blinded. It will make you think you're blessed, but you're not blessed. Abraham's spiritual eyes was not opened yet, and he walked past the ram that was caught in the thicket. And he could not see it. Only once he was able to sacrifice his son, the Bible says God opened up his spiritual eyes. And as the Lord opened up his eyes, it says behind him was a ram. A curse will allow you not to see the blessings, and it will make you think everything is okay. So I said to him, no, white people want you to be poor. Why do you think we are in the news or with all this stuff? They have a religious poverty mindset where they want everything, but they can never celebrate somebody else. And I don't want that spirit in Encounter. I really don't want that spirit in Encounter. Not because Leon wants a car. Now I got my money's also outside of the church, so it's fine. But it's a principle. You can never enter or have what somebody else has unless you can celebrate what they have. So then I said to him, isn't it amazing how the gifts, prophecies, and power has ceased in white churches because of that thing? You're getting upset already with me. It's okay. Let your demon get upset. All it is called is the spirit of poverty. Okay. You know how we got blessed, my wife and I, how we got blessed? Not business dealings, nothing like that. We got blessed by giving a lot. We gave a lot. We were generous. We gave everything that we had always away. Everything. Now for the first time in our lives, we're accumulating a little bit of things. Before this, we have given everything away, always. There's times when money would come like that, this in my hand, and then I would give it before I would even take a thing. It doesn't matter if it's 100,000, if it's 80,000, I would get it and I would just give it away. And I know this is public, it's okay. So, what am I speaking? I was speaking about sons and mighty men. Say with him, mighty men. This is what I want to get. So when there's a spirit in a church where it's like we don't want our minister who nourishes us spiritually to be blessed, we can never become mighty men. Because what is happening, I shared with the leaders, we are creating Saul leadership instead of David leadership. Saul took mighty men and made them weak. David took weak men and made them mighty. The Bible says he was surrounded by those who were distressed, depressed, and in debt. And they became mighty men. Then it says with Saul, Saul went and looked for mighty and valiant men. And at the end of his life, it says all of them were fearing and trembling and weak. Meaning Saul took mighty men and made them weak. David took weak men and made them mighty. So when you have a quiver with sons in your quiver, listen to me, a ministry that doesn't believe in fatherhood and sonship. And I'm not speaking about the fake sonship and fatherhood. I had many people coming to me, oh, you're my father. You're my, okay, then I never hear from you again. Please. A son is birthed, begotten. Say with him, begotten. So listen to this. He says, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So we said it is, the arrows is his son, the verse before this. Are you guys with me? His son. So his sons of a mighty man. So these sons of a mighty man. So what did I always say? Basically, white people doesn't want you to be mighty. I've seen it. What do you call it when they neuter their ministers? I'm serious. I meet some ministers. It's like you're meeting somebody with no, I'm not speaking of everyone. I'm just saying some, especially in the our culture church, you know, not Encounter culture. I'm saying the white culture, African, hello. And they have this boring clothing on. I'm just being honest. I know for these things I used to get attacked, so it's fine. Have this boring clothing on. They're humble. No, somebody neutered you. Jezebel. Jezebel will make you to have no children, and she will give children after herself, called the children of Jezebel, the offspring of Jezebel. Are you guys with me? So he says, this in my quiver is sons. And sons of a mighty man becomes this. Go to Jeremiah 5:16. Jeremiah 5:16. Remember, so it says, they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. So it is sons in your quiver that has gone through the process that can deal with your enemies. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. Their quiver is an open sepulcher. They are all, say with me, all mighty men. Meaning, those who understand the process of an arrow that I'm going to get into right now, when they carry a quiver and they raise up sons and they are a mighty man themselves, they raise up all to become mighty men. Are you guys with me? So say with me, the process of an arrow. So this is the process of a son. Okay, because we rectified that arrows are sons. Maroska avreke deno meskedele batia tena maya. Na sodonoska de la bena maya to roduska de batien dena maya. Number one, he separates. Say with me, he separates you. Remember, the Bible says that you were called from your mother's womb when I read it to you in Isaiah 42, verse 1, or somewhere there where we spoke about the quiver. He said, from my mother's womb you called me. So you know you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his light. Are you guys with me? So seventhly, he separates you. So the first thing to the call of God, and I'm just looking at some verses here, the first thing to the call of God is he separates. If there's not a separation, you haven't embraced the first step. Where does he separate? He separates you from family. He separates you from friends. He separates you from worldly friends. He separates you from past associations. There's a separation that is taking place. All of a sudden they say, you know, you are in that cult encounter. You are in that cult. No. God is separating you. And he is cutting a lot of soul ties that needs to be cut. Because people are so held back by associations. You know, somebody asked me, why are we not big and why are they big and why are we not big yet? I said, no, we are big actually, but we are not big. We are big, but we are not big. I mean, we planted 5 churches. Well, took over the 5th one, but planted 4 churches. In 7 years, sent out strong sons. In that, worked good with money to begin to attain assets and etc. for the projects going ahead. And I said, but associations is very key. I said, you might have had the favor of associations. We haven't, because we come out of a place where we were severely persecuted. There were times, I remember when I tried to preach in 2018, I was so persecuted, I couldn't even speak. Many might have not picked it up, some might have, but I couldn't even speak, so sick I was. And it happened for about 3-4 years. I had to get through a season. So these were attacks that we went through. And these attacks are only because of words of your brothers and your sisters. And nobody goes, no government is interested in a church. Don't worry about that. No media is even interested in a church. Let me tell you who's interested in a church. Jealous, other jealous pastors. That goes to the media and goes to the news about you. Are you guys with me? But they did it with Jesus as well. So when we will be called a cult, probably in the next 4-5 weeks, they said to Jesus, you are a cult. I'm serious. They said you are a fraudster, a madman, a cult leader. They accused him of a lot of things. They accused him of taking money from the poor. They accused him for not paying taxes. What you're going to hear on TV is, Oh, these churches, they don't pay tax. Of course we don't pay taxes. It's a non-profit. What, are you an idiot? Every journalist, oh, well, you pay taxes. What's wrong with you? It's a public benefit organization. It's a non-profit. Plus, we have a Section 18A, by the way, which is for our, which is even a tax deductible. Do you want to persecute us on that? What makes you, what is the spirit that makes you think that you are, that the church is not allowed to? Please, just, and they're like, oh, you know, ministers don't pay tax. Where do you get this idea? Please show me anybody that doesn't pay tax in South Africa. I'd like to know how they do it. We need to find out how they do it. Okay. So they're going to come with this stuff. Don't listen to that nonsense. It was happened in Jesus' days, and it'll happen today. Be careful of a church that is not persecuted. Because the Bible says you will be persecuted if you desire to live godly. But if you don't desire to live godly, you will not be persecuted. Are you guys with me? So I'm quite excited to see what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not prepared beforehand. We'll be watching a movie about ourselves. If they still have us in, maybe they removed us. So he separates you. Then he prepares you. When he prepares you, the Bible says I have hidden you. Say with me, hidden you in my hand. So he says, I have hidden you under the shadow of my hand. That word hidden is used twice in the scripture. The first time it means to prepare. So it means that he prepares you. So after you have separates you, he now begins to prepare you. What is the preparation season? It is the season where you are begotten as a son. It is where you allow your father to beget you. Are you guys with me? Paul said to the Corinthian church, he says, I have begotten you in the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning you are all my children because I gave birth to you. So yes, I'm a racist towards white people. Okay. Because they don't allow themselves to be begotten. They have these things up. They don't understand the culture. I just say, you know what? I don't know anything. I want to give myself to somebody that can raise me up. Every business person that has millions upon millions will tell you they have been mentored by someone. There's no such thing as a self-made person. Somebody has mentored them or opened a way or opened a door. Someone somewhere. Why will it be different in the spirits? So say with the preparation. So let me read a verse. 1 Corinthians, let me read 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6. 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6. 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6. And if you've been blessed online, and if you're blessed in the church, the best thing people can do right now is give towards the Vision Project. That will bless us tremendously if you're blessed. I know there are people watching that has the means. 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6. So Jotham became mighty. Say with him, mighty. Because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. So he was prepared. He went through a begotten season. 1 Corinthians 9:24. 1 Corinthians 9:24 in the Amplified C version, please. Amplified C version. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race, all runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Now, every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temporarily and restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither, but we do it to receive a crown that is eternally blessed, that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run uncertainly, without definite aim. Definite aim. So the definite aim. If you do not know your exact goal and aim, the devil will change that aim to something else. I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary, but like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, I discipline it by hardships, and I subdue my flesh for the fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, meaning that I speak these promises to others, but yet I do not enter the promises. Are you guys with me? Ezekiel 38 verse 7. Ezekiel 38 verse 7. So if you prepare. Prepare yourselves. New King James. Prepare yourselves and be ready. Prepare yourselves and be ready. You and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. Say with him, prepare yourself. So the first one is separate. The second one is prepare. The separation part is where God calls you. The second part is preparation. He prepares you. The third part of the making of a son of an arrow is he polishes you. Some of you polishes. That once you've been submitting to the preparation, many don't submit to the preparation process, then the polishing stage starts. When you are being polished, go with you to 1 Corinthians 10:23. 1 Corinthians 10:23. I hope this is not too fast for you. I want to get the message out. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me. So the all things are lawful. But all things are not expedient, meaning are not beneficial. All things are lawful, but all things do not edify. So this is the difference between somebody that enters the call and somebody that doesn't enter the call. Those who enter the call know what they are allowed and not allowed to do by the Spirit, although the law of the land allows it. But you know, everybody can go out and watch a movie. Yes, but the Spirit of God is saying, I'm separating you. I'm drawing you close to me. There are things that you are not allowed to do. Are you guys with me? It's like one limitation of my life. The Lord said to me, I am never allowed to do business where it takes my time and where I go and fight and work in a business deal. I'm not allowed. He said, I can invest, I can be a silent partner, and I can benefit and stuff like that. But I'm not allowed to say, okay, Monday I need to now go work somewhere. Tuesday I need to go work somewhere. He says, no, you're a Levi. A Levi lives off the tithe. Because the Levi never got an inheritance. That's what the Bible says. Okay. But it was a thing to me where the Lord said, you can never, that's the moment you do it, is it lawful? Absolutely. Is it beneficial for you spiritually? Nope. Because there are restrictions to the call of God on your life. And when you have those restrictions and you understand restrictions, can I do investment? Yes. Can I do properties? Yes. Can I do all those things? Yes. But I cannot give my time to something that's going to take away my service from the Lord. I have to depend on the Lord for those things. So are you guys with me? I believe it's good. Every minister should have investments. I think the problem we have is ministers give their whole lives to a church for, and they get 60, 70, and then their families end up with nothing. Trust me, I've seen it all over. All over. And then we have to go and help the families and help people. So that you must know your restrictions. Lasco every day. Say with me, he polishes you. The word polish means, in fact, let me see if I can get it here. The word polish means this. Say with me, feed. It means that the only way you can get fed is by being polished. That's why a lot of people don't get fed spiritually, because they don't allow themselves to be polished. What is polished? Character shaping, a rebuke, a correction, a discipline, a guidance. Somebody that can be a no to say a no to you when you want a yes. Always have a voice that can say to you no when you want a yes. Are you guys with me? It also comes from the ancient Hebrew, which is called strong, meaning it makes you strong. It is soap, meaning to clean you so that you can become bright and white. White, not whiter skin, all these stupid. You know, if you just say black, if you just say white, if you just say, now they even want to come against the word darkness in the Bible, because now when we say darkness, we get over it. This is South Africa, this is not America. You know, it means palace. I can preach this on this the whole morning. So with your palace, the moment you're being polished, you're prepared for the palace. It means to thrust, to prevail, to be a warrior, to purge, to cleanse, to purify, to polish arrows, to show oneself pure and just and kind. So some of you polished. So he polishes you. People hate the polished period. But it is the polished period where the Bible says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, that though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor. Meaning that the moment you're being polished, you're going through trials and testings. Are you guys with me? Let's go. Let me read this verse. I want to read this. Ezekiel 21 verse 9. Ezekiel 21 verse 9. I know we're running a little bit over time, and you must pray for us. We need a helicopter, or we need a escort. But some prophet that I don't like messed up the Metro Police and escort. Now they're not allowed to escort any minister anymore. Whatever. Anyway, but we need an escort, or we need a because. We drive very slow to Krugersdorp. Ezekiel 21 verse 9, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, a sword is sharpened, so it is sharpened, and also polished, sharpened to make a dreadful slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. Should we then make mirth? It despises the scepter of my son, and it does all wood, and he has given it to be polished, that it may be handled. You can only be used by God, be handled by God. When you are polished, you can only be handled by a father's quiver as an arrow by the father when you are polished. This sword is sharpened and it is polished to be given into the hand of the slayer. Cry and wail, son of man, for it will be against my people, against all the princes of Israel. Terrors, including the sword, will be against my people. Therefore, strike your thigh. Now listen to this. Because it is a testing. And what if the sword despises even the scepter? The scepter shall be no more, because it is a testing. So the polishing stage is a testing stage. For whom the Lord loves and chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So the moment God chastens and disciplines you, it means he loves you. Are you guys with me? James 1 verse 2, almost finished. James 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. So they count it all joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. So the entire. The word entire means that you can be perfect and entire. The word entire is holokleros, and it means to be complete and full in every part and to be perfectly sound. Wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God and He'll give you wisdom. So the polishing area begins to polish you that you can be used and handled by God. The fourth phase of becoming a son and an arrow is he refreshes you. So if he refreshes you in the hiding periods. So when it says he hides you under the shadow of his hand, it goes further on and it says again in the verse that he hides you again. And the second word of hiding means this. It means to be refreshed and to wait. So with it, to wait. Go there to Hebrew, Habakkuk 2 verse 2. I'll close over this. Habakkuk 2 verse 2. So with it, wait. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets. And all of us do that. We write the vision. Then he says, so that he may run that reads it. He doesn't say run. He says, so that when he reads it, he may run. Now hold on. When will you read it? Let's go to the next verse. Before you can run. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarries, saith he tarries. Now listen to this. Say with me, wait. Wait for it. Don't go after it. Meaning if God gives you a vision when it comes to ministry, especially in the call of God upon your life, don't run after it. I'm giving you a principle. Wait for it to come. Because it will surely come. Not you will surely run after it. It will surely come. And when it comes, you run. But don't run unless it comes. Meaning wait in the house of God, wait in the local church. And then when the vision comes, you will know that you will be able to run. But what will happen? Your father will take you like an arrow out of your quiver and put you into a bow and aim you and send you. And when you are refreshed, when you are polished, when you are prepared, when you have gone through the stages of separation, he can pull you out of the quiver. But what happens when he pulls you out of the quiver is that there are many arrows in a quiver. So the one arrow see another arrow being pulled out and feel rejected and think, oh, why am I not being used? No, no, no. Your time is coming. If you have been polished, if you have been prepared, you have been separated, you have been refreshed, he pulls you out of the quiver and he puts you into the bow and he begins to aim you at a goal, and he can shoot you with a bull's eye or hit a bull's eye. Why? An arrow hits the bull's eye when it has been polished, when it has been prepared, when it has been shaped correctly, when it has been formed correctly by the left hand and the right hand of God. And it has been shaped so smoothly that no offense. So what will God do? He will remove every rugged edge. He will remove every sharp edge from you so that it can become smooth. And when the arrow is smooth, it can be aimed and sent out and hit the target on the spot. So say with me, I will become mighty in my father's quiver. Say, all are mighty men who are in a quiver. It is those who are in a quiver that is mighty. Those who are outside of a quiver are not mighty. David had mighty men around him because he had them in his quiver. They came distressed, depressed, in debt, and he could raise them up to become mighty men. Stand to your feet where you are. Raise your hands. La ruska avreke de na maruska avreke na manduska daya. Le rosaha lesege vresko rekeneska daya. Father, I pray. So if you say, Heavenly Father, make us mighty men, sons in the quiver, that we can be sent out to hit the targets, bull's eye, to be effective, separate, prepare, polish, and refresh us in Jesus' mighty name. Use us for your glory, that we can be handled in the hand of God. Father, I pray for each one here, by the anointing, let the presence, let the power of God be upon them. Let them say, I want to be used for your glory. Not just sit back and be out of the quiver. No, 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 I want to be in the quiver. I want to be polished. I want to be shaped. I want to be formed. I want to be changed. I want to be used. Maybe you have visions right now, dreams, but it's not the right time yet. And the Holy Ghost will speak to you and tell you it's not the right time. Why? You need to be polished. And even though it tarries, it will not tarry. But wait for it, because it will surely come to you. It will surely come to you. When it comes to you, the vision will come into effect and it will cause you to run. But when you wait, you work on yourself. You serve in the house. You're in the house of the Lord. Are you guys with me? You're serving. You're doing everything that you can when you are waiting. It's the word kavah, which means to wait, to serve, to give, to build the house. And then when I'm found faithful, I will be sent. Father, I pray for each one of them. Let the anointing rest upon their lives. Let them be used for your glory. Let there be a polishing, a preparation, everything that takes place upon them. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Come on, let's give them a praise offering.